So anyway, so I know you guys have a million things on your mind, and the last thing you want to do is be here. I get it. In a couple of short hours, you guys are going to be standing in line waiting to walk up a ramp and walk across the stage, and there's going to be outstretched hands and people waiting to congratulate you, and cameras are going to snap pictures, and eyes are going to fill with tears, hands are going to clap. Some of you are going to hear loud applause, and for some kids, it'll be like they're all alone in the world. The auditorium will empty, the lights will be turned off, and darkness will close in on everything you've ever known. But you won't have time to think about that then. You have planning to do, and your family and friends are waiting to have pictures taken. And even when the picture's over, there's still parties to go to, friends to visit. But soon, as suddenly as light comes on, when you flick a switch, it'll hit you that it's over. It's finally over. Your friends will go in a dozen different directions, to a dozen different schools, and to dozens of different jobs. You guys will get together and friend each other on Instagram one day, or whatever the young thing is those days. And you'll reconnect. But it will hit you that it's over. The class of 2009, you guys are unique in a way that no class before you has been, nor will any class that follows you ever be. On September 10th of 2001, a Gallup poll just happened to be taken. And on that poll, less than 1% of Americans consider terrorism a major concern. You guys will be the last class that was alive one day later on 9/11. This photograph, can you put the first photograph up, please, Zach? Poor Zach, he has to keep track of all of us. This was taken 4 days after 9/11, and the debris from the World Trade Center is still hanging like a thick fog over New York City. You guys, of course, only remember this through stories that you've heard and looking back shows on TV. But here's the thing. When those trade towers fell, your lives changed forever that day. And in your lives, something is going to happen, an event is going to happen in your life too, and your generation is going to experience something like this. Every generation does. Every generation has that one thing where people say, where were you when this happened? You remember exactly where you were. We had Pearl Harbor, then the assassination of President Kennedy, 9/11, and you guys are going to have an event like that sometime in your life too. And it's going to change everything for you guys. Listen, maybe for you guys, it'll be the return of Christ. And so the thing I want to ask you guys is, are you ready? When if that is the big event that changes the world? It was late. The nation of Israel has amassed behind their leader Moses, and they begin walking away from Egypt. Behind them, they hear the dimming sounds of tens of thousands of crying moms and dads from the death of the firstborn. That's fading into the background, but at last, Israel was free. Or so they thought. Can you bring up the next slide, Hunter? Okay. This is where Israel was, right here in the land of Goshen. Here's Israel, here's Egypt, okay? Here's where they were going, right here. Straight line. All they had to do was go from one place to the next. But listen, God had other plans. He wouldn't allow his people to take that straight line to get from point A to point B. Because listen, it's one thing to leave your past behind, and it's something different to know that your past is not going to be running after you. So here's where the Red Sea is, down here. So all they had to do was go to here, but God didn't let them do that. He brought them this way, all the way down here to the Red Sea. When Israel gets there, Pharaoh finally comes to his senses and realizes that all his slaves are gone, or perhaps he loses his mind completely. God is leading his people at this point. Can you bring up next slide? Here's Israel, and they're leaving in Egypt, and here's God, and he's leading them. And they would set up the tabernacle, and the cloud would move. They knew it was time to tear down the tabernacle and move and follow God. So God's leading them through the wilderness here. He's a pillar of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire at night. Can you bring up slide 2 again, Zach, please? So they've been following God, this pillar of smoke, and he's led them down this way when all they had to do was go from here to here. He's led them down this way. And he had a reason for doing that, and it's the same reason that you guys are going to see that God doesn't always lead you in the path that you think you should be going. No one knows the real story of what happened here. And when you hear it, it sounds like God is out of his mind. And even like God is fighting for your enemies. And sometimes you're going to have times in your life and it's going to feel like that. But listen, God in his wisdom had to get Moses and the million people that were following him, had to get them in their wisdom to understand what he was doing. Pharaoh has sent out advanced scout teams. They're coming after Israel. They're going to bring them back. And God does something at this point that looks really foolish. The Egyptians are now riding hard after the Israelis. The Israelis are right about here. And God says, what I want you to do is turn around and go back. Now to us, this sounds really stupid. Is God out of his mind? He just performed all those miracles to get them to leave here, and now they get to here, and these guys are coming after him, and he tells them to turn around and go back. Seems ridiculous. Exodus 14:2. Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of whatever that word is, between Migdol and the sea, in front of, what is that, Baal Zephon? You shall encamp facing it by the sea. So they're down here, So they're down here by the sea, but they're now gone back towards Egypt, and they're facing away from the sea. The sea's behind them now. What a foolish thing to do. By now they surely know that the Egyptians are coming after them. But don't miss this. You guys that are graduating. Listen, I'm sure some of you people have your lives mapped out. You're going to go from point A to point B to point C to point D, and everything's going to go just smooth for you. And you have it all planned out. College, job, marriage, family, it's going to be great. It's going to be a good ride. Good for you. And some of you have no idea. Listen, it took me a long time just to get to point A. So some of us have no idea, and that's okay too. Because here's the truth. God has a plan for you, and it may not be what your plan for your life is right now. And I know you guys are 17, 18 years old, and you think you know everything about everything. But you're going to find out that your parents are a lot smarter than you think they are. Because we've been through stuff. And the point is this. There's going to be times in your life when you face things. And it's going to look like it's going to look like God has lost his mind. It's going to look like God is fighting against you. It's going to look like God doesn't even know what he's doing with you. He's going to turn you around and head you straight back to your enemies. But listen, God has a plan. The scouts from Pharaoh saw the Hebrews, and the Hebrews look like they're lost. And they're out here, they're going this way, and back and forth, and zigzagging across the land. And so to the Egyptians, it looks like they're completely lost. And in Pharaoh's mind, it's like, this is going to be easy. We're just going to go surround those people and drag them back. Put them in leg irons and bring them back as our slaves. And the trap was set. But the trap wasn't for Israel. Pharaoh gave the order, go get them, boys, bring them back. And right about nightfall, Israel and Egypt once again come within sight of each other. We picture them being, 100 miles apart, but they're not. The Egyptians right up there by the library. And Israel's here between Egypt's army and the Red Sea, and they have no place to go. And God led them right to that point. You're going to feel like that sometimes. It's going to feel like God's against you. Pharaoh was ready to attack and bring his slaves back. All was lost for Israel. And you're going to have times in your life when it's going to seem like all is lost in your world too, and it's hopeless, and you're helpless, and nobody likes you, and you don't know what you're doing in your life, and the whole world's out to get you. Listen, it's happened to everybody in this room. It's going to happen. But then God did something. Can you bring our next slide, please, Zach? This is the other side of God. So what's happening here, this is the flame of fire. This is God coming down, talking to Moses here, and he gives Moses the battle plan. Exodus 14:10. As Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, and they cried out to the Lord. Listen, you're going to be scared, and it's okay to be scared. If you really dig into the Bible, everybody in the Bible was scared. Everybody. But now God moves. Exodus 14, 19 and 20. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went up near the other all night long. So God's out in front, and Moses and the Israelites are following, and God's leading, and the Egyptian army's coming up on them, and just when they're ready to attack, God moves from in front of Israel to behind Israel. And he stands between our church and the library. And he's a pillar of fire to the Israelites so they can see what's going on. And on the Egyptian side, it's as dark as midnight in a coal mine. They can't see a thing. And so the Egyptians had to stop until the next morning. But God's about to do something. As Pharaoh waited, Israel witnessed an amazing event. A strong wind started blowing from the east, and it began to drive back the sea. At some point during the night, the Bible doesn't tell us when, but we know it was during the night, Israel started crossing the Red Sea on dry land. Pharaoh had no idea. He's back here in the pitch darkness, and he thinks it's the same over here for Israel. He has no idea what's going on. Next slide, please, Zach. This is a pretty good picture of what it probably really looked like. Here's the Israelis. Moses was told to raise his staff, and the seas will part. Moses didn't do anything except be obedient. Okay, the miracle wasn't performed by Moses. It was performed by God. But the Israelis start across through the sea. Now listen, we read that and we overlook it because it seems like we've heard the story so many times. Can you put up the next slide, please, Zach? This is a crude drawing, but probably pretty accurate of how it was. There are mountains of water on either side of these guys. And they are churning. And so they have a choice to make at this point. They can either walk through the sea to freedom. Here's the path, but it's not easy. Or they could turn back to their past. They had a choice to make here. The Bible says the waters were like a wall on the right and on their left. Listen, the Red Sea had, it's actually Reed Sea, by the way, R-E-E-D, had an average depth of 1,600 feet. So it wasn't like you see in the movie, here's the people and there's water up above their head. That water's a half mile in the air. Okay, by the time God blew it back, as the waters are stopped and they're gathering and they're getting taller and taller. So they have a half mile wall of water on either side of them. And they're terrified. They don't know what the future holds. Listen, grads, they're stuck between those two choices. Go back and be enslaved to your past, or move on where God leads you, into the great unknown. Listen, going forward does not mean you're not scared. It doesn't mean you're not absolutely terrified. You're doing new things. But listen, when God's the one leading, he's going to take care of you. We know how the story ends, right? God made it appear to the Egyptians that the Israelis were trapped. But he actually laid the trap for Israel's enemies. And so when the last foot of the last person of Israel touched dry land, and by the way, it wasn't just from here to across the street, a little walk. It was 100 miles or more. It's a long walk. A long walk. And they're getting to the other side, and they're probably in the middle when the Egyptians' light comes and the Egyptians start riding hard after them, and they're in the sea too now. They're in between the sea, both of them. And as soon as the last Israeli foot touches dry land and the last Egyptian foot enters into the sea, God releases the water and it kills all of Egypt. Now listen, this was the greatest, most powerful military that the world had known till that time. And just like that, God destroyed them all. And it's going to look like your enemies are big and powerful in this world. One last part and we're going to be done. Because listen, this was the beginning of Israel's story. And it's the beginning of your story too. Slide 2 again, Zach, please. See, now Israel has a problem. See, God's led them down here, and they've crossed the Red Sea, and now they have a problem. See, this is the Jordan River. Even today, it's the boundary between Israel and Jordan. Israel's now over here. Here's the promised land over here. So now they have a problem. Listen, sometimes God has a lot to teach you before you get from point A to point B. It's been 40 years now since they crossed the Red Sea. 40 years. Okay, and they're still wandering around over here. God had a lot to teach them. And maybe he has something to teach you too, and that's why things aren't going as smoothly as you hope. But listen, there's going to be another crossing. It's a pretty small river compared to most, the Mississippi, the Nile. But at the time when Israel crossed, it was the spring and the snows had melted and the waters were rushing. And so the river itself is probably about a half a mile wide at this point. Average depth of about 10 feet. Doesn't sound like a lot. Can you bring up the next slide, Zach? But it was like this, like you're rafting in West Virginia, like you're whitewater rafting. It's about a half mile walking across this with 1 million people. You can see it was a daunting task. The Nile River is about 190 miles long, or the Jordan River. So they can't just walk around it, cross a bridge. They have a problem. Listen, you guys are heading into a great big world, and despite smiling faces and support from your loved ones, there's going to be an underlying current of fear. Every experience is going to be new. Listen, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have the answers today. It's not what life is about. Every experience is going to be new for you guys. So as Israel stands on the banks of the flooded river, Moses, their leader, they've been following him for 40 years, has just died. And now here they are, other slide, it's okay. So here they are on the other side of the Jordan. Moses has just died. The person that's been leading them, the person they look to, Moses was just like God to them, and he's dead. And God comes to Joshua, and he says, hey, buddy, you and me, you need to step up to the plate. So you don't think Joshua was terrified? Joshua turns around and he sees 1 million terrified faces. And they're all looking to him. What do we do next? What are we going to do? We're trapped. This isn't where God wants us to be. Trust me, Joshua was scared to death. But then God. Don't miss this. You're almost done. God has a private conversation with Joshua. Just God and Joshua. And he tells him, listen, I'm going to make you great in the eyes of the Israeli people. Just as I made Moses great in their eyes, I'm going to make you great in their eyes too. And then he gives Joshua the battle plan on how to get across this body of water. Now Joshua at this point could have been overflowing with pride. Could have come back to his people and said, I'm the man. You guys just listen to me and I'll take care of this. God just told him, I'm going to magnify you and make you great in their eyes. But he doesn't. He goes throughout all the people of Israel in the camp and he says this, Joshua 3:10. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Gergesites, Amorites, and Jebusites. Joshua standing on the precipice of a long drop into the unknown. He's scared, but he trusted God. And more than that, he gave all the credit for the coming victory to God. There's one more thing, and this is the gist of the whole thing, guys. Joshua presented his plan to the nation of Israel. Listen, the water's still raging in front of them. The Red Sea is still behind them. They're still not home. But when Joshua came and he talked to you guys, the nation of Israel back here, he presented it like it was a done deal. It already happened. It's history. To God, it's history. God said he's going to do it, and that settles the matter. Now, here's where we get tripped up. God tells us he's going to do something, and we fret about it and worry about it and try to scheme and try to figure out how we can help God out. He doesn't need our help. He has it all figured out. Listen, you guys are going to face deep seas and raging rivers. They're going to take all kind of forms. Disappointment, heartache, maybe health problems, barriers that seem insurmountable. The one thing for change, that changed for Israel was they stood before that raging river, was that their leader heard and believed God. Take your eyes off the river and put them on God, because you're going to have raging rivers in your life. You play, Deb. Thank you. The battle plan was this. The priests were to take up the Ark of the Covenant. And here's the Red Sea. Or here's the Jordan River. And it's still raging. And God gives them the battle plan. He tells them, you put the Ark of the Covenant on your backs and you start walking. The Jordan River is still raging until the first foot of the first priest hit that water. Listen, sometimes you have to step out in faith. When that first foot of the first priest hit that water, God did the same thing he did at the Red Sea. He started blowing that water back, and the water is being held up. It's maybe a mile or two upriver. God stops the water from flowing. And so once again, the nation of Israel can walk across on dry land to where God was leading them. Now listen, they didn't know this when they left Israel. They couldn't see the end from the beginning, but God can. And God sees the end from the beginning of your life. The nation had to see God leading them, and that's why he put the priests out front with the ark. He told the people to stand back about 1,000 feet from the ark, because nobody could come near the ark and live, touch it. And so when they look, there's 1 million people, and there's this raging river, but they see God out in front of them, and they're following God, and they had their eyes firmly fixed on God. And Israel crossed over that river, and finally they were home. When the last foot of the last Hebrew crossed that river, God released the waters from upstream, and they came flowing back down. I will never leave you or forsake you. You probably thought Jesus said those words to his disciples, but that's how the book of Joshua opens. Those are actually God's words to Joshua. Joshua opens in the first 5 verses of Joshua. God says four times the same thing. Do not be afraid. 4 times. And so Joshua had to be terrified. But he trusted God. Everyone knows about the crossing of the Red Sea, not so many about the crossing of the Jordan River. But the two stories are the bookends of the same event. They're the bookends to where you guys are right now. Here's a Red Sea, here's a Jordan River, and here's you right in the middle. Your story, Rachel and Iza and Lorna, Olivia, Megan, and Caroline, you guys are stuck between those two bodies of water. The first crossing of the Red Sea was leaving your past behind. And the second crossing of the Jordan River was stepping into your future and trusting God. Israel was told never to forget their past, but at the same time they were told never return to your past. We're going to close with 2 verses. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's what God's doing in your life. We love you guys. We truly love you guys. I'm going to miss you guys. But you always have a home here. Last quote from the Apostle Paul. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead, what lies behind, and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Trust God and let him lead you. I love you guys.
Please rise, turn in your hymnals to number 506. Number 506, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Philippians 3:8. I'd rather have Jesus than sin.